Turn to Genesis chapter 11. I did something yesterday I've been curious about for a couple days, and I did it last night. I don't know how this will come out, and I don't even know if we can finish. Anyway, so I've been involved with network marketing for a long time. And, you know, they talk about thinking and your imagination and what you visualize and what you think on. And so I started thinking, you know, I wonder what God says about all this. You know, just curious. And there's a difference between, I looked up a couple words. I looked up belief. I looked up faith. And I looked up imagination. And it was fascinating to me what I found. It wasn't what I expected, actually, which was kind of interesting, which I'm thinking, why haven't I thought about this before? But there's so much in this book that if I could tell you what you should be thinking on. It seems to me, in my study, that everything that had to do with imagination has to do with things like image, molten image, imagination, inventing gods in your own mind. Just, you know, you have your religion, I have mine. That's imagination. You invent God in your own mind. I used to believe that God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh the thing out. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was an imagination of my own. It had nothing to do with the Word of God. I just invented what I wanted to believe. And so imagination in every verse was negative toward God. Every thought, whatever you think, Brenda says, well, does that mean Larry, you know, is away from God, doing, imagines these buildings before they're happening and then draws them out of his mind? I said, huh? It can absolutely become idolatry. It doesn't have to be, and that's what I'm going to show you. That it's one thing to imagine things for your own glory and your own purpose. It's another thing to have faith and belief that you're doing what is right before God. Does that make sense? And so, in a sense, what I want you to see is that this goes away from God, and these two things go toward God. And this is real important because even belief doesn't take you all the way to God. Belief is the initial understanding of God, but it has nothing really to do with faith. And so I don't know if I'm going to get through this all in, you know, this morning, and we may just do both sermons today, adding on to this, because let me tell you, I am totally amazed at what I've seen. Now go to Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to start with the word imagination. This is very imagine. In Genesis 6, I want you to start reading with me in verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. All I want you to see that the imagination of man's mind, they do not want to submit to God. The brain thought is, I don't want to submit to God. And so they invent what they want in their own mind. And it's just like religion today. To join a church, what do you have to do? Walk the aisle for Jesus. A lot of them have that.
Transfer your letter.
You know what all that was? That's nothing more than imagination. It never said to do that in the Word of God. It never once told you to do. Somebody sitting behind a desk said, you know what, we can start to do this, and we can start to put the people in to the church by them walking the aisle for Jesus. And so out of their own imagination, they just invent something for you to do to feel religious. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying about imagination? And so people just invent what they want to invent. I went to Epcot. How many have been to Epcot? GE has a thing called Imaginations. It's a big, I don't know if you'd call it a show, but you go in and you get to do all these things. Your imagination, unless it's thoughts that come out of scriptures, is just vain.
Amen.
And I don't know that I'll get to all the passages, and we may just carry this over because I think it is so important to understand where most people are in religion. The reason that we got religion is imaginations of men's mind. It never said it. I mean, we can find what it said in the Word of God. We've got the Word of God. We can research it and find out what God said. You don't have to invent a religion. See, that's, I mean, why do you think we have the Church of Christ, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Assembly of Gods? Why aren't we all speaking the same thing? Somebody had an imagination. That's what I want you to see. In Genesis chapter 6, I want you to start with me in verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. The Bible says this, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil continually. That is, everything, in a sense, that they were thinking about was anti-God. It was anti-truth. It was inventing. They were religious folks. Listen to me. I believe, even in Paul's day, that people were having sex with their mothers as a part of the religious ceremonies. They had orgies involved in that. You all understand? They just invented how they wanted to worship certain idols. When Paul went to the mount there, Mars Hill, let me tell you, there were so many idols there that they had just invented a god after a god after a god after a god after a god until the point people didn't know the one thing that said to the unknown God. And the unknown God was the God that created the heaven and the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that people want to invent what they want God to be. And you can't have God the way you want God to be. God is the way He is because He is Almighty God. And no matter what you think about God, there's a guy named Wayne Dyer. Anybody hear of Wayne? He's a New Ager, positive thinker. He's into the New Age. He tries to tell you about the God in you. He's inventing. He's imagining what's not true. Hey, listen, you got a Bible. You don't have to imagine anything. That's your imagery in your mind, it ceases right at the door of the Word of God. You don't have to invent your religion. Listen, I don't have to question whether I should follow Paul. God said, follow Paul. Those that are following Peter are doing what? They're imagining things they want to imagine. I mean, anybody in here ought to be able to show that we ought to be following Paul, not Peter. Amen? And that if we were to follow Peter, that most of you in this room would end up in hell. Y'all understand? You don't have the right to invent your own religion. People ask me all the time, what am I? A Christian. Yeah, but what are you? You mean, am I a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian? I'm not any of those. I'm a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. And they get all bent out of shape. Yeah, but what denomination are you? You know why? Because they want to see, they're imagining in your mind what you believe. Listen, if you tell someone, hey, I believe the Bible. They say, well, we believe the Bible too. You start reading with them and they don't believe anything out of the Bible. I mean, that's a fact. They've imagined things in their own mind. Imagination is anti-God. Think of it. The base word is what? Image. What are images? Idols. They told you not to. Think of what they said to do. What is the second commandment? Thou shalt have no graven images before. I mean, image, imagination. Isn't that fascinating? Go to Genesis chapter 8. Verse 2. Oh, that's not where I want. 6:11.
That was the title of the Bible.
Or
11:6.
21.
Yes, 8:21. Thank you, it is. Watch this. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is what? Hey, listen, let me tell you, you haven't changed your heart since you've been a Christian. Your heart thinks on evil things. It thinks on gross things. It thinks on things against God all the time. I know. You know, people trying to say, well, you know, mine doesn't. I think about the Lord. I do think about the Lord. But that has to do with belief and faith, not imagination. I still have those evil imaginations. I wish I could get them out of me. They pop up in the darndest places. I'm like, what? I'll be studying the Bible. Evil thought comes in my mind. Where did that come from? It's weird. That's the way it is. Now, I want to deal with imagination we dealt with. There's lots of verses. Let me give you just a couple so you can look them up. You got a pen and paper? Let me list these with you. This is imagination. You can look this up in a concordance, but let me just give you a couple. Deuteronomy 29, verse 19. Oh, go to Jeremiah. This was interesting before we go to the other one. Jeremiah 3, verse 17. And at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after their imagination of their what? There is a time coming, listen to me, that whoever makes it into that kingdom over here after the second coming, that 1,000-year, that God's going to wipe out their imaginations or their evil heart. You know how he does it? Fathers and mothers are going, if their children prophesy lies, they're going to stab those people through the heart and kill their children because they prophesied evil against the Lord. Y'all do know that, right?
Yes.
All right, I can see some don't. Go to Zechariah. Zechariah 13, verse 3. Talking about the same time as Jeremiah 3, verse 17. Y'all with me? Same time, same error here. He's gathering in. Another of that is Zechariah 8, verse 22, and Isaiah 60, verse 1, all the same time. You with me? Same time. Zechariah 13, verse 2, and it shall come to pass, in that day, saith the Lord, I will cut off the names of the idols, notice idols, image, imagination, imagining their own God, that kind of thought there, idols out of the land, and those shall no more be remembered, and I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. How shall it happen? Verse 3, and it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begot him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live. For thou speakest lies. What are they speaking lies of? Folks, they're speaking of the imagination of their own heart. They're speaking what's in their mind, not what's in the Word of God. You don't have the right to speak what is in your mind. You've got to speak what's in the Word of God. And his father and his mother that begot him shall thrust him through when he what? Prophesied. You know why? He prophesies of the imagination of his own heart. You know what churches are worried about today is your feelings. I'm telling you, that's a fact. They're worried about the images you see. Think about church buildings. We're getting ready to decorate ours. Be careful. Y'all understand?
That's right.
Imagery. Imagination. Imagine. It's always evil. It's always taking away or detracting from God. Think about that. Detracting. Taking away. It is not giving God the glory. It's in a sense, you can say, it's kind of like being baptized. You can say, I have been baptized. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should
boast.
Why? Boasting would have to do with imagination. An image of yourself. I mean, what is boasting? Man, look how good I am. And we do this to our kids. We have ruined our children. When they hit a ball, we go, man, you are the star. I did it with Jamie, I know. And what we've done with those kids are give them the wrong information. I think about the bumper stickers people have on their car. I'm a proud grandparent or proud parent of an honor student. Pride, imagination, building up, establishing that which is not true. What is true? That there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20. This isn't something new, folks.
Amen.
King David, a man after God's own heart, a murderer.
Right.
And an adulterer. Abraham willing to give away his wife so that he won't have his life taken.
Twice.
Twice. Why? Because he imagined something in his mind. He imagined that he was going to die. I mean, you can go down the list. Hey, you're not in the lone boat. You're just in the boat. And you have to start to come to grips with that. That what you're thinking isn't always godly. How many thought that baptism had something at one time to do with their spirituality?
Amen.
How many here have thought that the way they dressed, the image that they projected was something to do with their... I mean, I thought Bobby... I mean, don't I look good? This is all Bobby wear. He's my... Ready? Image consultant. This isn't really me. You get me, I'm like in blue jeans that are all dirty and a t-shirt that has bad sayings on it.
Cut down the gross, brother.
Yeah. You all understand? Our imagination is just as rampant. It's so far away from God, it can't. They're not even connected.
That's right.
Isn't that incredible in Zechariah 13 that these people are going to have to thrust their kids through? Because they prophesy something that's in their mind. I wasn't going to do that. I might as well go have fun. Jeremiah 23. You guys need some Old Testament practice anyway. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll just watch this. Jeremiah 23, we've preached this before, so it won't be new to you. But I just want to bring it into what's happening. Jeremiah 23, verse 11. For both prophets and priests are profane. Yea, in my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Well, what is their wickedness? What is it that they're doing wicked? Wherefore their way shall be unto them as a slippery way into darkness. They shall drive on and fall therein. I'll bring evil upon them, even the years of the visitation, saith the Lord. Come on down. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesies unto you. They make you vain. Why? They speak a vision of their own heart. That's what we're talking about. That's imagination. That's what you want to stay away. You don't want to just all of a sudden start preaching something and start to tell something that isn't true. Hey, listen, even grace preachers, we all do this. I mean, come on. I heard Brother Moore one time do one of the best sermons I ever heard him, and then I realized that none of it was probably true. Now, it preaches good. He preached to me that the blood of Adam before the fall was crystal clear. How many's heard that? Huh? I know some of the people that heard Brother Moore for years have heard it. And that when he ate of the fruit, it turned red. Now, that's pretty imagined. I mean, that's imagination. And it preaches really good. Man, sounds great, you know?
So we got hemoglobin from the apple?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I preached that when I first started. And I know some of you preachers are going to preach things that I believe and that they're going to be wrong. I understand that. I'm not that proud. But I got up there and preached what he taught me. And then I thought, one day I'm going to really try to prove this to myself it's true. And all of a sudden, I couldn't prove it. When Larry and I first started, you know, Larry's the original member. That's how old he is. He's over the hill, but he's got a Harley to make up for a few years. If you've got a Harley, you take minus 10 off whatever age you are, and that's what age you are. Anyway, I used to preach on the pre-Adamic world, and people would go, wow. And none of that stuff can be proved. Just imaginations. Say, well, you've gotten your message down to pretty small. Yep, Paul's my apostle. Jesus Christ died for my sin. I can prove those things. Those aren't imaginations. You understand? People say, well, you're pretty simple. Yep, that's me. That's why, hey, listen, I don't want to preach something that I can't prove.
Amen. That's right.
And I do it occasionally. I get that little fantasy going on in my head that I'm some big to-do preacher. I had a lady, we were at the Dairy Queen picking up sandwiches for the trip, you know, and this lady come out and she said, you're him. And I'm like, okay, I'm him who? She says, you're the guy with the whiteboard. She says, I love you. I said, my wife's right here. Your ego gets in there. You start to almost believe your own press releases that you're something. Imagination, you got to watch it. You'll start to think you're something when the Bible says you're nothing. Paul said this. He said, be careful that you think of yourself not more highly than you ought to think. Because it's easy. You know why? The imagination runs away. Man, look at me. I'm it. I'm God's it. Now, she imagined that was loud. I'm God's it. I ain't God nothing. I'm a sinner that God had grace upon. Imagination. See, it runs away. Let me give you some passages. You got your paper out? Did I give you some of the passages? Let me just give you a couple. Deuteronomy 29, verse 19, imagination. We read Jeremiah 3, verse 17, but it's also Jeremiah 7, verse 24. Jeremiah 11, verse 8. Jeremiah 23, and we're going to read this one. Verse 17, we're right there. Let's go ahead and read it. Verse 17, they shall say unto them that despise me, the Lord said, ye shall have peace. And they shall unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. That is not true. Hey, listen, even with believers, does evil come upon us occasionally? Hey, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. See, all that stuff. Hey, if you're a Christian, God's going to protect you. Hey, listen, I guarantee in that hurricane, there were saved people and lost people, and both of their houses were just leveled. The evil does come upon Christians. You see, folks, come on down just a little bit. Now watch this. Verse 21. He says, I've not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, that's where belief and faith comes in. You with me? Then should they have turned from their evil way and from their evil of their doings. Wow. Verse 25. Listen, let me tell you, people, religion today aren't causing people to go toward God. Folks, they're celebrating Christmas in a world that we know that Christmas is idolatry. Amen? Is there any doubt in your mind what it is? And the churches are imagining that it's godly and right, and their imaginations are just running rampant. And people say, well, what will it hurt? Just detracts from the glory of God.
Amen.
Images. You know, I grew up in a home that Christmas was the thing. Are you listening to me? Imagery from my childhood give me joy, even though I was serving idols and in unbelief.
That's right.
Come on. Y'all there? I have fond memories of idolatry. It was fun. Fond memories of idolatry. Yet there's no time that we have fond memories of spiritual truth.
That's right. That's right.
It's weird. You know, we love the imagery. We love imagination. Let me ask you a question. Is it an imagination that a Santa Claus comes down? Sarah, do you believe in Santa Claus? Okay. I didn't know. I just didn't want to mess her up.
Oh, yeah, like that was
Come on, honestly, we tell our kids that there's a Santa Claus that goes around the world in one night. Is that true or an imagination of someone's mind? I mean, think about the whole thing. And he knows everything.
He knows
when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Imagination that there's a man that knows everything. It's running away with us. It's taking us away. And you say, what's wrong with that? Look up the word imagine, imagination and image in the Bible, and you'll see that every single time it's mentioned, it's evil. And yet churches are rampant with it. See, they're following the imagination of their thoughts. And their thoughts are only evil continually. And we wonder what's wrong with our society. You know, there'd be a great revival if we understood what was in the Bible, but the great revival is into idolatry. They've imagined something in their mind. Look what he says. Verse 25, I've heard what the prophet said, that prophesies lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. Where do you think you get your images from? How long shall this be in their hearts that prophesies, the prophets that prophesies lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Hey, listen, there's some people telling you ought to keep the commandments when they aren't even close to keeping the commandments. They're trying to deceive you, bring you under some faulty belief. Boy, do you understand how important what I'm talking about to you this morning is? You can't just conceive your own faith out of your own head. You have a way to get to God, and a Buddhist has a way to get to God, and the Muslims have a way to get to God. That ain't true.
That's right.
That ain't true. And we can't just come to Jesus to get to God. Plus, God, if you're going to get to God, you've got to go through Paul to Jesus to God. Paul is your vessel in which you'll find the truth of the Word of God. You don't have to trust your imagination. You can actually have facts that prove this and be a Bible-believing saint of God. You don't have to go, well, I think God says this. How many here have said something that they know God didn't really say, but they kind of acted like they thought God kind of said it? We've all been there. I know I do it. You know, I mean, that crystal blood and that bread blood. Man, I did that for a while. Man, I thought, I'm intelligent. Not only good looking, but bright too. Imagery, isn't it? What do you think of yourself? When you look in the mirror, what do you do? Do you do, boy, am I glad I'm like not like most men. I fast twice a week. I give alms of all that I possess. Are you the guy that looks in the mirror and says, man, I don't even know how God would even reach out to save me? So what is the image in your mind? You've got an image in your mind right now of what you are. See, I know that Wayne has an image of himself of being 185 pounds. But the truth tells us that ain't true. Amen, brother. Do y'all understand? Image, we imagine things. I tell you what happened one time. I was checking blood up in Amish country. And this young girl says, how old are you, 65? That blew my image. 65? Look at your dad. How old is he? 62? Well, you think I look older than him? Image. Imagination. Now watch. Verse 27. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their father has forgotten my name for Baal. They've gone to worship another god. The prophets that had a dream, let them tell a dream. Now watch this. This is very important. This is the crux of the matter. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Paul tells us to teach faithful men who shall be able to teach others what?
Also.
I think that's important. Y'all understand? You don't have to invent anything. How many here could prove to me that Paul is our apostle? Anybody got a verse? Give me a verse that Paul's our apostle. Romans what? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. That's 15, 16. Romans. We can prove that. It isn't an imagination of our heart. We can go to find the facts of where it is. You don't have to vainly think about it. It's not a vain thought. It's just the way it is. I'm going to keep working on imagination, this part. The next part I'll work on belief and faith. Because there's a lot that I need to say there. Because you can believe something and still end up in hell. And that's what I want to show you. That faith is an action step to belief. Faith is an action. You can believe something. There's people that believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins and they're going to end up in hell. Because they didn't take the action step of faith. And faith is that crux that causes it all to happen. And Brother Moore calls us lost believers. And I understand that's a diametrically opposed thoughts or a dichotomy in some sense. But the realization is that there is a sense that people believe in vain. They have believed, but they believe in vain. Now, look, if you will, in Job, getting some Old Testament stuff in.
You say that if we imagine something, does our heart convince us that it's right?
It can. In fact, what does it say in Jeremiah 17, verse 9? The heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. And so, the heart, in fact, love. Love is a great example of imagination. We image love a certain way, and then when we get married, it's really something else. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You that have been married, you're thinking, white picket fence, a house, two dogs. You're going down the hall quoting Scripture to your wife, and your wife's quoting Scripture to you, and you guys go to work, and money's always there, and life is perfect. Everybody had that kind of imagery as a young child. There's an image that we think is real. Here's the other problem. And I know, don't get upset at me, okay? There's people imagine what church should look like.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this whole thing about this new church building, people want to have an image that looks a little more churchy. Yeah. Be careful what you ask for. Image. Imagery. You got to be careful about that. Now, I told you to turn to Job 6, 26. Do you imagine to reproof words and the speech of one that is desperate, which are as winds? Do you imagine to reproof words? Do you have imagery to reproof words? You just invent. You know, Paul says, I don't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not using my own fancy words. You know, some people can make words sound a certain way. They use their imagination to prove something that isn't really true. So this is all building toward the idea of belief and faith. How many believed something was true prior to getting here to the Word of God rightly divided? How many thought something different? We all did. All of that had to do with imagery and understanding of where you were. And we believed because we went to the priest or the preachers to get the information, but we didn't check the Bible out ourselves. And so we fall into this trap of believing their vain words, like in Jeremiah 23. And the people had the Word of God back then. Was there an advantage of being a Jew? He said, much in every way, chiefly because they had the what? Oracles of God, the words of God. They could say, well, that's what it said. Y'all with me? But they're imagery. By the way, what carried Solomon away? Women. Carried him into idolatry. Why? He loved the creature more than he loved the Creator, as in Romans chapter 1. Imagery. Women. They dress beautiful. They put on makeup. They do their hair. Why? They want their image. We want to adorn them. Religion does the same thing. Dress it up so we adorn it. Does that make sense? Everything that had to do with image, imagination, imagined, all were evil. Everywhere, every single verse. Not one good verse on imagination. Isn't that weird? Do y'all not find that a little weird? I was shocked when I found that out. I never knew. So what you're thinking in your mind isn't the important thing. It's what God says in His Word.
Amen.
Everything else in your life, what you imagined... Let me ask you a question. Do you imagine your house a certain way? We do. We image that in our mind. Does it glorify God?
Nope.
We imagine our marriage. Like Bill was talking about, we have an image of what we think marriage is. Not always that image. But the Word of God is constant for everybody in this room. That is, you don't have to wonder if it's true for you, to you, to you, to you. It's true. And it's true 100% of the time. And that's what makes the Bible unique. How many are good? At one time, how many imagined that they had some goodness in them?
Sure.
That was an imagination implanted by our parents, by the preachers. And we bought into those imageries. And we'd look in the mirror and comb our hair and think, aren't I something special? My parents are glad to have a child like me. Up until I got about 17, then they didn't want me no more. Amen. So, this thing in Job, look in verse 21. Watch this. Go to Job 21. Verse 27. It says, behold, I know your thoughts. You know, there is nothing hid from God. Mark 4:22 tells you that. Matthew tells you that. Listen, there is nothing hid from the eyes of God. You know, you think you've gotten away with something, or you think you've got clear. Listen, you're guilty. You might imagine you got away with it, but your imagination's incorrect. Why? He says, behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which you wrongfully imagined against me. Wrongfully imagined against me. Imagery. Well, I tell you what, we need to start a new tradition at Grace Bible Church. I've imagined this. We're going to start raising our hands if you got saved. So easy. You know why? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's why you that are elders need not to worry too much with the image of the church, but the doctrine of the church. Man, listen, you are over the protection not to come and invent something that's in the Word of God, but protect what is in the Word of God. Am I making this making any sense? I mean, image is everything that you have. Everything you build your life upon, your clothes, your house, your marriage, everything comes out of the imagination of your mind. Go to Proverbs 23, verse 7. Watch this. And by the way, I talk about doing what's wise with your money. You all have come to my seminar. I do not believe you ought to strive to be rich. That's not the whole thing. You should strive to have the wisdom.
Right.
You all understand? That's what I believe. I want to make that perfectly clear because people get confused. Brenda says, well, you talk about money a lot. I only talk about money that you ought to be doing principles, not based upon emotion. I do a principle that it just doesn't change. I get a check, I do the exact same thing that I did the check before and the check before, and I just don't even think. It's principle. And principles are based upon the Word of God, and there are principles about how to do your money. But I do not believe that you ought to strive to be wealthy just to be wealthy's sake. Why? What does faith tell us? That if you desire riches, they're going to take up wings and fly away from you, and that's in the verses right above this. So now watch this. You should strive to get wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 17 through 21, if you want to know where that is. He says, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what? Listen. If you imagine something in your heart, can you have it? I'm going to show you how powerful the power of imagination is. How many get fixated on a car in their mind? You think about it night and day. It's in your thoughts. You just think about it, and you're thinking about it, and you're thinking about it, and it's on your mind all the time. And you just you have this thought going through your mind, and then all of a sudden, it appears. Now, I know Larry wanted a PT Cruiser not for just 1 year, but 4 or 5 years after they were made. I watched him. He said, man, I want one of those cars. Man, that's what I want. That's what I want. Guess what he has? Now, that tells me that your imagination is a very powerful thing. You cannot let it run rampant. Okay, I'm going to give you one verse before we close out this morning. You've got to cast down those imaginations.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying he can't have a PT Cruiser. I'm saying that's the power of thought. Anybody think of a new house and they have imagined how you want it to look and it starts to come to fruition? Whatever you think in your heart, so is it. Okay? So whatever you imagine, if you imagine to do ungodly things long enough, guess what's going to happen? If you want a plasma TV, and that's what your fixation is, and that's what your thoughts on, guess what's going to happen? But did you just get a plasma TV?
Okay.
Oh, see?
You got the gift this morning.
Rushing through.
You have been out talking about a plasma TV.
Last great HD.
HD TV. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, you're behind the time. Wayne has already got one. You know? It's not plasma, but it is HD, and it's big, buddy. Do you all understand? Whatever you think. And let me give you a couple. You know, we were there in go to Genesis 11. We were there once, but we'll go back. Genesis 11, verse 6. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Hey, listen, you want anything to happen, you can imagine it, and it will happen. You get tired of that old ratty couch? And you start to image what you want in that. Listen, for years, I know about this. I have people walk in and say, "I love your house." What it is, they love that big $4,000 couch that's sitting there that I imaged to happen. And it happened. I wanted fine art all around my house. I have original paintings everywhere in my house. Why? I imagined it to be that way. Well, you can imagine the wrong things and the things that are against God. And you got to be careful about the thoughts and the imagination of your heart. Go to Paul's epistle. Go to 1 Corinthians. No, 2 Corinthians, I think. Just give me a second here. 10, that's it. Verse 3. And this is where we're going to end this morning. All I'm telling you that imagination... Listen, let me tell you. It's like an unheard of powerful weapon. How do you think idolatries and temples got built? Do you think it was just God started blessing those people? I would tell you that I doubt that's true. I doubt God would send anybody to that church. You understand? So how'd they build it? It doesn't take anything to build a building and a facility and a thing. It's a difference to have belief and faith. That's a whole different ballgame, which we'll learn in the second half. So this is a two-part series. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds." And here's the strongholds. "Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's what we're talking about. Amen. That's the idea. You've got to wrestle with yourself. Brother Moore once described the Christian walk as a white dog and a black dog. And that's a little bit true if you read Galatians chapter 5. Amen? And you're either feeding the black dog or you're feeding the white dog, but you're not feeding both very well at the same time. And you watch TV, and let me tell you what. How many here get inundated with credit card offers? Everybody here does. Why? You know what the number one marketing thing in the United States and in the world is? Debt. Second mortgages. Why? So you can imagine yourself having more than you can afford to have. You all understand? Imagery. More than you can afford to have. And so then you can't give to the Lord. You know why? Struggling with debt. Didn't have the debt, you give to the Lord. Can't because you're struggling with it, because the image of your mind had desired something and someone kept putting that on TV. Man, green light mortgages, you know, ditech.com. You know, these images are flashing in your mind. Why? They want to control your mind. When we start to read the Word of God and start to put these images in our mind, the phone rings. Have you ever noticed that? Everything distracts you from the things that are truly important. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your... You have to cast down the imaginations of the strongholds. You've got to get them out of there. You say, no, you can't have it. And that little boy inside of you goes, wah, wah, wah. And you got to say, no. Learn to say no. Y'all understand? Imagination. Every single place in the Word of God was evil. There wasn't one good thing about an imagination of your thoughts, of the intent of your hearts, or anything there that God said was great. Not one place. I want you to imagine in your mind right now that you're a student of Scripture. And your desire was to focus on the Word of God in the book. Man, listen, it's so easy to run away with fun and do the things that are fun. It's hard to keep coming. Focus. Hard. Satan will do everything in his power to make it not happen. Don't take about a 7-minute break and we'll come back.